Hello, everybody. This is David and Jeremy from I Don't Know. What Do You Want to Talk About? The podcast that's kicking every other podcast ass in the long distancing department. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jeremy. Jeremy, how's it going?
I'm good, buddy. What do you mean long distance marathon of what? What was that?
So all these other podcasts out there are having to break themselves up and do teleconferencing when it comes to their podcasting. And the sound is all garbage because they don't know how to do it, Jeremy. We've been doing it since day one. We sound the exact same. Woo-hoo. So for all our listeners stuck in apocalypse land, your audio quality for our podcast is just as good or bad, depending upon how you view it, as always. That's the David guarantee.
Nice. Very nice, buddy. Very, very nice. Well, let's jump into it. Not that there's a whole bunch to report, but a couple of interesting things this week. So last Saturday, we recorded the podcast, and then we kind of him and hawed around about there's not much really new and going on for us. Mm-hmm. We're all self-isolating and whatnot. So Saturday evening, we ended up having a FaceTime drinkies with the Bad Influence posse. So we FaceTimed with the Bad Influence household and mutual friends of ours as well, and just, you know, had drinkies and got to see everyone face to face on the FaceTimes, which was nice. It was a little odd because Bad Influence number two's mom, my neighbor, you know, the poop lady from last podcast, she ended up trying to FaceTime him at the exact same time. And she kept hearing voices and she's like, "Do you have people over?" No, mom, we're drinking on FaceTime. She's like, "But I'm on the FaceTime." Well, no, we're on Amber's phone. He had to prove to her that he didn't have people over. And so he had to hold his phone up to her phone and so that we could see her. And so it was like this big FaceTime fucking clusterfuck inception-wise, but it was like, oh, hey. So like the two of them for about 5 minutes got cut out of the conversation because they were just holding their phones about a foot apart so that they could talk to us. It was interesting.
That's a wild life you live, Jeremy.
It was so crazy. And God love her. I think she was hammered. I don't think there was. Like she had started day drinking long before our crew had. Sunday, we didn't do much of anything, really. You got me the podcast early, and so
I did.
I was able to get good stuff, you know, done early on that. So that was great. Monday, the big adventure was going grocery shopping. Woo! I obviously went alone. You know, one person from the household, please, is what all the shopping centers are asking for, and they're like, "Oh yeah,
really?
Cool." Yeah, it's.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they're kind of asking one person per trolley, what per cart, just to keep the numbers down in the store. So, traffic was a little light in the store, but they had everything except toilet paper. So yeah, everything.
That's still going on, huh? That's still the problem out there.
Not that people are hoarding more of it. I think they're having trouble restocking because all of a sudden, all of the toilet paper was gone. Everyone's like, shit. Obviously, it took me a little bit longer because I was on my own and being cautious and, you know, not yada, yada, yada. So it took me a little bit longer and I came home and I think grocery shopping took me 3 hours, you know, half an hour drive each way and then 2 hours of all by myself. So, I mean, and then putting 2 weeks of groceries away took a while. And I mean, that was kind of it. That was like I had gone out into the world and that used up my energy for Monday. I don't even know.
Good Lord.
Tuesday, it's been kind of rainy this week, but so Tuesday, I ended up poking around the garden site out in the yard. David, you know, I think I've described it as, you know, big mounds of, you know, dirt that the Joy had just laid there from when she leveled out her pool, and it's kind of a mess. David, I was poking around and just doing a little bit of digging, and God damn it, if I didn't find a garage-sized concrete slab up there, buried about 8 inches below the dirt.
What? Do you have a bunker?
I freaking wish. So I jumped on the text, and you know, I'm in contact, you know, I can go ahead and just text the people who lived here from like 1951 to 1970 something, and I'd be like, hey, what in the hell is this? And so, you know, I took pictures and sent it and kind of described it. And it turns out, David, that when they moved in 1951, this was some sort of an old just equipment shed, you know, dirt floor and whatnot. And they concreted the floor in themselves and turned it into a chicken coop because they didn't need an extra shed, but they wanted to sell the eggs. So I have like a 30 by 10 chicken coop base up there that I wish the concrete was in better shape, but it is not. It is heaved, and you know, like I said, they poured it themselves in like the 50s, so you're talking it's only about 3 inches thick, no reinforcement or anything, so it's busted up. But I just like, well, son of a bitch, I can't even dig up here, you know, in the meantime, because there's this goddamn concrete slab,
right? You have to rent a backhoe.
Funny story, David. That's coming up later in the week.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
So anyway, it was a lot of fun just kind of going back and forth with them. Obviously, they're stuck at home too, and we haven't had the chance to have, you know, the drinkies where we get to walk around the farm and get told of, hey, you know, this is what we did, and oh, this is where my mother had this. And so we kind of did a little bit of that over the text. But really can't wait to get them over to the house and just have them tell me what stuff was. So we've decided that in the meantime, we're going to go out there and we're going to use our little sledgehammers, and we're going to finish breaking up the rest of this concrete, and we're going to kind of keep the ones that are stepping stone sized, and we're just going to use what the concrete that's there, we're going to use those as stepping stones in the new garden. And then cool. We figured we would just kind of dig a deep hole and bury the rest, because what the fuck am I going to do with it? So Tuesday evening, I was kind of doodling stuff I wanted to do in the garden. And then, David, big Wobots news. I know you already know this, but the robots made it to late night TV, buddy.
Right. Congratulations on that. That's so cool.
Thank you. Thank you. The funny part
was... You want to share it to our listeners what happened?
Of course.
Although I have a feeling probably all of our listeners already know what happened.
Those of you just tuning in. So Jimmy Fallon had Weird Al Yankovic on the show, and everybody is doing their shows from home, much like all of the podcasts you mentioned are all having to do this separation thing. So Weird Al was doing a song from his office at his home. I had already previously in the day watched the video from the night before, and I thought, oh, that's cool. Love Weird Al. Awesome. Tuesday night, I got a text, and it's just like, oh my God, Jeremy, your robot's on TV. And I'm like, what? I had to go back and look at the video. But for those of you who have not seen it, go on the YouTubes, find the Jimmy Fallon and the Weird Al thing, or just look at the video I posted on Instagram. But just behind where he moved his computer screen are the feet and the base and my swing tag of the robot I made for him and gave to him when I lived in Oregon. I was so ecstatic it made my fucking night. I never knew if he, you know, kept it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of gave it to him while he was on the road. And it wasn't anything he ordered. I just happened to win a meet and greet and decided I had to give him a robot. You know, much like the Jim Carrey thing a month ago. I just felt the need to gift it. And so I never knew if he, you know, bothered to take it all the way through the tour and home with him. And if he did take it home, if it was, I didn't know if he kept it or if it was, you know, anything he even really liked. But it lives on his desk. On his desk.
Yeah, that's really cool, man.
A place of honor. Mm-hmm. It just tickled my wang. I was living that high. I'm still living that high. So Wednesday, a little bit of nothing. Me and the kids, we planted 200 seeds in those little, you know, peat pots for transplanting later. You know, our growing season in New York is later than everyone else's in the world because we're fucking Arctic tundra for most of the year. But so we did a little planting, and then we went up the back hill behind the house here, and we just kind of started clearing it out, raking, and we ended up cutting down two more dead trees and kind of trimming the rest of them. And just yard work, keeping ourselves busy. It's been just getting ourselves outside, do something anytime it's nice enough. Friday, it was rainy, so me and the boy worked in the barn a little bit. We got some good stuff cleaned up in the basement of the barn. It's a never-ending project. Mm-hmm. And then I had the brilliant idea to call my driveway guy. Now, for those of you who have been longtime listeners, you will have heard the entire saga of me trying to get my driveway replaced because Joy had just let it fill in, and it's a big circle gravel driveway. Well, I had these guys come in. They were great. I had a brilliant idea. Hey, I wonder how much it would cost if they would bring their backhoe and level out my garden. Gave them a call. $200, David, is what they're going to charge me to bust up the rest of that concrete. They're going to dig a hole, bury it about 5 feet down, fill it back in like a cat turd in a litter box, and level out my garden for me. And I'm so happy. I couldn't even rent a backhoe myself for that cheap.
Yeah.
So that,
why are they doing it so cheap?
Because it's really only going to take them 2 hours.
Hmm.
I mean, honest to God, it took him 2 days to do an entire driveway for me. Just one guy. And that was five pieces of equipment, six dump trucks full of gravel. He did it in 2 days, and it was $2,000 for just that. And so he's like, yeah, I don't know, about $200.
Great.
Sweet. Done.
Now you're going to have to wait like 6 months until all this COVID nonsense blows over, or is he going to come out earlier?
No, he actually came out Friday to take a look at it, and he said that they've been kind of getting dicked around on their main Department of Transportation gig. They're still getting paid, but it's really hit and miss on when they're allowed to work. He's like, so why? We got time. We're only working about every third day. And I'm like, well, sweet, come out whenever you want. So, they'll figure out a time to come on out. Friday night, we got to talk to our friends from New Zealand over the Skypes. We haven't seen them. Obviously, their plans to come visit this year have been so we decided to catch up with them and hear about how New Zealand is dealing with all this. They are in pretty much the exact same boat as we are. They are all hunkering down. There's no movement. The tourism has stopped, which is really going to hurt that area. And I mean, they're having the same problems we are. People hoarding toilet paper and whatnot. And everyone deciding that they needed to start backyard gardens and raise chickens and shit.
Yeah.
But for 2 hours, had a couple of drinkies over the Skypes with them. That was great. And then, so for those of you who are not behind the scenes, we are recording Sunday because I went to bed at 11 o'clock Friday night, and a couple hours after I went to bed, I fell extremely ill, like extremely ill. I went to bed just fine. I had had two and a half Guinnesses with the New Zealanders, and at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was woke up. I was absolutely had the full body shivers. I had every goddamn symptom of corona you can imagine. Everything that you have even read. I was shivering. I had shortness of breath. I had a fever. I was sweating and shivering all at the same time. Body aches, the whole thing. And I'm like, fuck me. And so I went ahead and took some acetaminophen, and I texted you. It was relatively early in the morning here, so I know it was middle of the night for you. And it was like, hey, go back to bed. I don't feel good.
It was like 4:55 a.m.
So I just like, oh, crap. And so I put myself back to bed. It was a real restless night. But I'm going to tell you what, I got woke up at 10:30 by the dog, and it was done. I don't think it was the corona. It was just, I got no fucking clue. If it was corona light, which is fucking dog piss anyway. But it was, honest to Christ, about maybe 9 hours of feeling like I was gonna die, and it was over as fast as it started. Like, I just kind of took it easy yesterday, you know, not wanting to overdo anything in case it was gonna come back at me. So my entire day yesterday was just seeing how I was going to end up feeling, we watched Onward on Disney Plus, if you haven't seen it.
We did too.
I fucking highly recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen
it. Yeah, it was so good.
And then after that, the kids bailed on me, and I binge-watched The Tiger King on Netflix. I watched the entire thing. David, it is... I don't know why it is such a thing on the internet. I mean, obviously, that's why I decided to watch it. But
right.
I couldn't look away. It was the most bizarre, just redneck car wreck. I couldn't stop watching it. It was... Every episode was like, what? What? What in the... What? So... If anybody's out there and they've got no idea what to watch and they would just like to go brain dead for about 6 or 7 hours, I highly recommend watching the Tiger King series on the Netflix, because you're not allowed to think. You just have to look. And that was it. I woke up this morning still fine. I have no idea what in the hell that was. I don't know if maybe we stirred up something in the barn or maybe raking all those, you know, disgusting wet, you know, decomposing leaves in the back if I inhaled something. But whatever it was, it is done now. Been feeling groovy. But that's where I'm at, buddy. That's the entire excitement.
Well, that's exciting.
No, not really.
No, I don't know, the Weird Al thing's pretty cool.
Yeah, the price on the garden leveling and my robot, knowing that he kept it, is just fucking yay, and it's on his desk, yay.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Well, so, what's that?
I was gonna say, so what about you?
Oh, so, let's see, what do we got? What do we got? Well, so this is a saga that stretched out over a week, over the course of the week. But filming the week's episode of All Things Z was both a labor and a chore.
Because it was just you. Obviously, well, you can't have everybody over.
Yeah, so there was that. And so, you know, my darling wife writes these really fun scripts, but she doesn't always think about, like, what it, you know, she writes it and then it's, you know, doesn't think about what it entails to do. And so, for example, in the original script, it was just them emailing Dante.
Ah, gotcha.
So the premise of this episode is that Dante has quarantined himself in his bedroom because he's scared he's going to get the coronavirus. And so he doesn't have his phone, so they can't text him. So they're messaging him in the original script an email. And then Dante's just reading the script. They're reading the emails. And you can't do that on YouTube because we have the attention span of squirrels on the internet. So if you're not adding a cut every 10 to 15 seconds, people stop watching it because they get bored. So I had to find a way to sort of create all of that dialogue that was happening between Terry and Snark and Dante in a visual representation. So what I decided to do was to do a Facebook Messenger. And so, Jeremy, that's actually your profile in the background.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And if you go back and you rewatch it, you've been changed. Your name has been changed to Robot Guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you got mentioned twice, you know, in
on the national platform. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Heck yeah.
So that took a long time to do. And then just, I have very little motivation to do All Things Z right now.
I'm feeling you. Same thing with the robots for me.
Yeah. So, you know, it took about 2 hours to do all those images of the text. And so that happened on Tuesday. Like, I didn't do it on Sunday. Sunday I had to drive. I don't remember what happened Sunday. I didn't do it. Sunday is what happened. And so I didn't do it Monday either. So Tuesday I was editing, I was making those images. And then Wednesday I shot half of it and edited half of it. And then Thursday, after my second week of D&D, I filmed the second half and then edited the second half and put it together. And then Friday morning, I finally put a thumbnail together and shipped the thing out. So that was just, and it's going to be the same way. Like, I'm just tired and I don't want to do it. I don't have the motivation to do it by myself. I have to have Tracy and Austin come over make me do it.
Right.
And then, you know, right now my shop is just a shit show because I've got half of a new desk built. And so everything is like totally crammed up in there. And it's just like, ugh, I don't even want to deal with this. But enough of that whining. Got that thing out. I think it turned out okay, despite it was me talking to myself and no other characters in the show. So that happened. So, Jeremy, This is an interesting thing that happened to me as well. So I auditioned for that Western, right?
Yes.
So this is what happens. The guy goes, who's that guy in the film? My buddy Will goes, oh, that's my friend David. He's like, oh, I might be interested in having him audition for this corrupt sheriff role.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have his information? Sure. So he sees me. He knows how I act. He asked me to audition. Last Saturday night, I put together an audition, filmed it. It was fun. So I sent it off, and I don't hear from him, and I don't hear from him, and I don't hear from him. And so I hear back from him a few days later, and he's like, hey, thanks for auditioning. Hey, great job. Great job performance. I really dug it. But I think you're too young for the role. There's another part that if you're interested in, here, take a look. So he sends me this script.
Well, that's a compliment, right? I'm going to take that as a compliment for you, that you are too young to play an old sheriff.
Yeah, Jeremy, but look, I don't take it as a compliment.
Oh.
Because I'm like, so I, in my brain, I read it as, oh, he didn't like my performance and he's being passive aggressive and doesn't want to tell me he doesn't like my performance. Because the role he is offering me is a significantly smaller role. But I don't really care. You know, I want to do a Western, right? Like, I always wanted to be in a Western, so I don't care.
Really?
If it's a, yeah, that's been something. Oh, Jeremy, I love Westerns.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like maybe my second favorite genre of films. I love
All
Westerns.
Right.
It's,
okay.
To me, the Western and film noir are the two like styles of American cinema. Like, that's it. Anyhow. So I'm like, if it's a good part, I don't care. I'll read it. And I read it and I'm like, I have zero interest in doing this. Like, this character is boring.
Oh.
It's a bartender and he's got a couple of scenes and it's like, I don't want to be a bartender. You want to have me come into a scene, say three lines, do a shootout and then get shot. Sure. That's great. I'll do that. I don't care. I don't want to play a bartender. And so I'm talking back and forth with my buddy Will about this. And he's like, well, yeah, I understand it's a smaller part. I'm like, no, that has nothing to do with it. I just don't want to do this. I don't want to be this character. So I write an email back and I'm like, hey, you know what? Hey, thank you so much for even considering me for the second role. I really appreciate it. I'm at the point where I'm not trying to do this for a living anymore. I do it because I enjoy it. I've always wanted to play kind of a villainous character in a Western. If I'm too far off from what you're imagining for this role, that's awesome. I totally understand, respect that. I direct films and blah, blah, blah. I understand. Thank you so much. Good luck in making an awesome movie. Like I sent a very nice email rejecting him. Right.
Yeah.
And I go, if you know, that's just how it's going to be. Cause I 100% in my brain have convinced myself he did not like my portrayal of the sheriff. Because there was a couple email exchanges between him and I over the course of this week. One was like, well, how old do you think the sheriff is? And he sends back, oh, he's 50. I look nothing like a 50-year-old in anything you've seen me in. Why did you send me the script? So in my brain, he's just like trying to, you know, not tell me that I sucked. And so so I send him off the thing, but I send it very nice. And I'm like, hey, good luck with this. I really, you know, because I don't hold any ill will to this person. So, you know, that's it. I don't hear from him and I don't hear from him. And then I hear from him. He sends me an email and he's like, great. Well, I'm glad that you still really identify with the sheriff. We may have to like employ some age makeup or something, but I'd love to have you play the role of the sheriff.
All right.
And you know, like those cartoons where like something crazy happens and then the camera just zooms in on the character and he like blinks a couple times,
you know? Yeah.
That was sort of like me reading that email. I was like, why did we go through all of this?
All right.
But yes, so I'm going to be playing a villainous cowboy in a Western, apparently in my 50s. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was sort of a weird situation, but we'll see how that goes. So I'm excited about it. I get to ride a horse.
You get to ride a horse!
I get to shoot some people.
It's not like bring your own horse, is it? You'd have to
borrow it doesn't matter. I got a horse I can ride.
I was going to say, you have to borrow one of your girls' horses.
Right? They ride ponies. We've got a quarter horse named Tri-Nine, who, he's my best friend. I used to ride him all the time back in the day.
Oh.
So, back when we were living at the in-laws, I used to ride that horse pretty consistently, actually.
Oh. Is that the one that would never come up to the fence while we were filming at your in-laws?
That was the big black one.
Yeah, the one that would never come over to the fence.
Yes. He's like, fuck you all.
Yeah,
so, that'll be fun. We'll see how that goes. I think it's not filming till later in the year, though. I haven't gotten. Basically, I got the email saying, "Hey, if you want the role, you can have it," and I responded with, "Yeah, let's do it." So I don't have a filming schedule, but I think it's supposed to happen like towards the end of the year. So we'll see how that goes.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. And then Jeremy. So Jeremy, my youngest daughter has so much energy. And, you know, part of it during the normal year time frame, she does gymnastics. She is very active at school.
Well, she has outlets for it.
Right. Yeah. Not now. So I have been taking her on like long walks. Mm. So we go on like a two.
You've been walking your children.
I have been walking my children. And she and I go on walks and we talk. And they're very delightful times for us to connect and have some fun together. But the other day, we were walking, and I realize I'm telling my stories all out of sequence, but the problem is many of my stories I've kind of spanned out over the week this week. So I think this was around Wednesday. We're about at Wednesday at this point in the week. Okay. I'm a Tarantino this thing and mix it all up. So we're out walking on Wednesday, and she has this fantasy land that she has imagined and played with her whole life. As long as she's been able to talk, she has this fantasy land that she's the queen of and is in charge of.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so she was telling me one of her many stories that she has about this fantasy land. And she started talking about when I lived there.
Oh.
And I lived in the fantasy land. And I said, I lived in the fantasy land. She said, yes. I said, well, I don't remember living there. And she said, well, Daddy, that's because when you become a grown-up, you forget all about living in this place. And then she started telling me all of these stories about when I lived there. And Jeremy, I'm not gonna lie to you. I had a beer prior to doing this, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I started to get a little nervous, like, oh shit, maybe this is real. What if all this shit did happen and I just can't remember it? It's like that fucking movie Hook. I'm fucking Robin Williams in Hook right now.
Bangarang!
Bangarang! You know, there's this, you allow, you know, you do an actor, you play this game of the magic what if, right? Which is, well, what if this thing really happened to me? How would I respond? And so, you know, I've been teaching a lot of acting lessons recently, so that's been something in the very forefront of my mind. And so I started to play the what if game as we were having this walk, and it kind of freaked me out, and I had to stop, Jeremy.
Wow.
And then let's see. The other thing that's been going on this week is I had a... So we have a friend out here. His name is Corey, but he is more commonly known as Pooley D.
Mm-hmm.
And Pooley D is a... he's a cosplayer who's relatively well known throughout the Pacific Northwest. He does Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And he does... He's a very good cosplayer. He builds all of his own stuff, and his suit is amazing. It looks just like the Ryan Reynolds ones from the movie, and he actually sounds a lot like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, you've gone to conventions, and any of our listeners who've not, Deadpool is very popular among cosplayers, and you usually get what I like to call the bad Deadpool, which is somebody wearing a Deadpool costume of varying quality and just behaving like a general jackass.
Yeah, usually it's the spandex Deadpools that do this.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They're just ass clowns. They come up and they do annoying things and they try to be funny, but they're not because they're, you know, well, they're that type of person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so generally I like to steer clear of Deadpools, but Corey is phenomenal as Deadpool. He's really funny. And on top of that, he is a really super cool guy. He runs this nonprofit called Pooley's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a group of really good cosplay artists. I think probably he and his wife supply a lot of the costumes to these people. And they go to different events to raise money. They are huge with Green Hill, which is like our local like animal shelter. They raise money for them. They do. They actually now are doing Make-A-Wish Foundation appearances.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a super cool guy. Anyhow, we've become friends with them simply because we didn't. Was it you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was you, right?
Yeah.
That made out with Deadpool?
Yep.
Well, you were doing Snark.
Yeah, it was Snark.
Yeah, so that's Pooley D. Anyways, we've become friends with him through the con circuit. And he and I saw each other a few weeks ago at something, and he mentioned, God, he's like, I really love that rat puppet. Eugene, the stoner rat. He's not a stoner rat. He's a lab rat.
Right.
Just perpetually stoned. He's like, God, I love that rat. And I was like, oh, what do you want me to make you one? And he's like, oh, I would really love that. And so this was actually more than a few months. This is like a few months ago now, because it was back in February when I did that Valentine's Day build a puppet thing with those folks.
Right. Because Pooley was at the comic shop.
Exactly.
Well, at the toy store.
Yeah. So, well, it's a comic shop. I started building his version of that rat that weekend. Like, that was my tutorial puppet. So as I was showing them how to do stuff, I was building this rat. Well, I got all of the internal mech stuff built, but I never did any of the fabric. And so I, Jeremy, I went down a rabbit hole of nerdery. And I ended up, there's a website called Hero Forge, and you can make your own custom miniatures, you know, for like gaming.
Yeah.
I play D&D now, Jeremy. So I needed a miniature of my character. And the group I play with needed miniatures of their characters. And so you can either go to this website, make your pattern, and then have them print it and mail it to you, which is like $20. Or you can make your pattern and have them send you a downloadable 3D printer version of this miniature, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's like $4. So I was like, I know enough people near me that have 3D printers. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, get the downloadable pattern. And then the other guys I play with they downloaded their patterns and sent them to me. So I got on Facebook the other day and I was like, hey, who do I know that has a 3D resin printer who can, you know, print some stuff for me? I'm willing to pay. Corey responded with, hey, I got you, man. I'll help you out. And he didn't charge me anything. So I felt, well, the least I could do would be to finish his rat puppet. So before I go get the miniatures that he printed, which take each one of them, he printed three, and each one takes like 4 hours.
Oh.
So I was like, I'll finish the rat. So I've been working on the rat puppet as well.
All right. Well, it seems like you did have a little bit more interesting of a week than mine.
It was something.
Oh. Well, we had probably better get into some news time. I don't know. All right, buddy. So, again, scraping the bottom of the news barrel.
Right?
But I did find a couple of interesting ones. This first one scares me on a whole new level, David.
Oh, shit.
The world could be running out of condoms because of the pandemic.
Why does that scare you?
Because.
Are you all not sun-kissed, Jeremy?
I'm totally fixed. It's just, I'm going to be, we're going to be, in 9 months, we're going to be surrounded by unwanted babies. It's going to happen. So,
they're all going to be named COVID, too.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? There's going to be a whole lot of corona babies.
No, I'm serious, man. There's a bunch of stupid people having unprotected sex right now getting pregnant.
Because they're all at
home. And they're going to think it's hilarious to name their kid COVID.
Yep.
So, because it sounds mildly like a name.
Rona.
Yeah, yep. Girls will be named Rona, and the boys will be named COVID.
Oh, Jesus. Well, anyway, here's
the
story.
Okay, continue.
Yes.
Did you get my sun-kissed reference, by the way?
No, I didn't get your sun-kissed reference.
So, sun-kissed oranges are seedless?
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Well done, sir. All right, buddy. The world's biggest maker of condoms warned of a global shortage as supplies fall by almost 50% while its stockpile is set to last for just another 2 months. Malaysia-based Carex BHD, which makes about one out of every five condoms worldwide, only restarted its factories on Friday after a week-long closure. Working with just half its workforce to comply with a lockdown in that country imposed to contain the spread of the virus, the company said condoms are mainly made in China and India, which are both heavily impacted by the pandemic. Meanwhile, demand is growing at double digits as governments around the world issue stay-at-home notices and many people abstain from having children due to the uncertain future. Now, combine that with an unprecedented global demand for latex for the production of medical-grade disposable gloves.
Wow.
And you have the recipe for a disaster, said Go My Kiat, Group Chief Executive Officer at Carex. The company produces for brands like Durex, as well as its own line of specialty condoms and flavored condoms. It churns out more than 5 billion condoms a year and exports them to more than 140 countries. That has become more challenging as governments shut borders and airlines cancel flights. Quote, I would definitely say this is an unprecedented stage. We have never seen such a disruption in the flow of condoms. End quote.
Wow.
Giggity. Giggity. Condoms could also get much more expensive, he warned. We are all still paying, we are paying all of our workers full salaries, but workers only come in half the time. So generally, there will be a cost increase. David, this is going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
If the, you know, the preventative childcare, you know, Planned Parenthood stuff can't happen mm-hmm. or becomes mm-hmm. more expensive, there's just yep. going to be so many babies. There's going to be so many babies. Oh my God.
It's not going to be good, Jeremy.
So this isn't going to be a, what are we going to call this? I mean, the last time this happened when everyone came home from the war, that was baby boomers. What are we going to call this? Are we going to call this the pandemics? What are we calling these?
That's, there's going to be a generation of kids named the pandemics.
Yes. I mean, because we have boomers. So, you know, yeah. in 80 years, it'll be, okay, pandemic. I don't know.
We see how great that boomer situation turned out for us now.
Yeah, right?
So these are going to be a group of terrible human beings as well.
Yes. It'll be wonderful. But yeah, when I saw this, I didn't even think of the impact it would have on, you know, not having children, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Come on, people. Just stay at home and Netflix and chill. No,
don't
time.
Netflix and chill.
No, snuggle times.
No, Jeremy, that's Netflix and chill. That's, you know, that's code for fucking, Jeremy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I literally thought it was just sit on a couch and watch Netflix.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're kidding, right?
No, I thought that
God
was...
damn it, Jeremy. What the hell?
What?
How is it you can have such a dirty mind 90% of the time and 10% of the time you're as pure as driven snow? Yes, you goober.
That is so accurate. That is so accurate, too.
Yes, you goober. Netflix and chill is code for let's go fuck.
No way!
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. I, honest to God, I didn't know that. I literally thought
Have you ever said to Kelly, let's Netflix and chill? Because if you did, she was going to be real disappointed.
We don't call it that here in the house. If we want to Netflix,
relations, right?
We call it relations, mother and I. No, you know, literally for us, Netflix and chill is sit in our recliners and watch something on TV.
You are the oldest man alive right now. God. Yes, no, Netflix and chill is fucking, Jeremy.
I don't even have a TV in the bedroom.
You don't know. Oh, Jeremy, that's couch sex, Jeremy.
Oh. Anyway, I just sounded like Screech there for a second.
You did.
I learn something new every day, David.
Yeah.
I do. Really? Is it really, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm shocked that you didn't know this.
Nope. I missed that one. That one flew right by me.
Huh.
I was kind of taking it at face value.
No, sir. No.
All right. Well, what do you got for us?
All right. So, Jeremy, you know how I love a good wild animal story.
Oh, yes.
They're my favorite. my darling bride, who understands what Netflix and chill is, sent me this the other day.
Congratulations.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Sent me this yesterday, actually, and said, here is something for you to read on your podcast. And I had another story I was going to read, but this one tickled my fancy. Huge feral hogs invading Canada, building pigloos as they go.
Building pigloos?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Feral swine, the offspring of wild boar and domestic pigs, are spreading through Canada into areas where many didn't think they could survive.
Okay, hold on a second. Does anyone else think that feral swine would be a great band name?
On tour right now, feral swine and pigloos.
Sorry, go on.
They're living high on the hog, man.
Oh.
I bet they're really bringing home the bacon.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
Okay. All right. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, some Canadian farmers imported wild boars from Europe to raise for meat. But as the wild boars are wont to do, some of them escaped, either digging under fences or barreling through them. Others were set free once the boar meat market cooled. At first, it didn't seem like a big problem. Many thought they couldn't survive Canada's long winter. But the boars proved hardier than some researchers expected. And now they cause havoc across the wide swaths of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The descendants of these wild boars have interbred with domestic pigs to varying degrees and are now found throughout western and central Canada from British Columbia to Manitoba and beyond. As they spread, they sow environmental destruction, plowing through crops and grasslands, causing erosion, displacing wildlife, harassing livestock, and eating just about anything.
Harassing livestock. Hey, 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 your mother dresses you funny. Hey.
Hey, cow. Hey, cow. What's up? We'll say moo. Look at that stupid cow.
Nice teats.
Hey, can I get a suckle on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, come over here.
Harassing. Oh, my God.
These feral fugitives can weigh up to 600 pounds or more and sport sharp tusks and bristle coats over their thick, warm fur. They're reproducing rapidly, and their range is expansive. The combination of wild traits and domestic ones, include their high tolerance for cold and ability to birth large litters, may have led to super pigs, says Ryan Brook.
Super pigs!
A wildlife researcher with the University of Saskatchewan. They create these creatures have even been known to build above ground shelters that researchers have dubbed pigloos.
Pigloos. Above ground structures.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
We should be worried because we know the biology, Brooks said. They're called an ecological train wreck for a reason.
Oh, God.
All right, this is a long story. I'm sorry. But it's just so funny. All of it. Normally when I read long stories, I'm like, all right, let's cut to the chase. But each paragraph holds something special. So I'll keep reading it. Okay. If it feels long when we're editing, I'll cut it out.
Okay.
The hog explosion is a new problem, and until recently, no one even knew where they were, says Ruth Asham, a doctoral candidate at the University of Saskatchewan. She and her advisor, Brooke, spent 3 years mapping their distribution using trail camera images, GPS collars data, and interviews with local landowners, farmers, and hunters. Yeah, they came around the corner, and then they asked my cow if they could get a suckle on its teat, and then they took off laughing hysterically. It was terrible.
Sorry, boot that.
For 3 months of the project, Ashlyn lived out of her tent and her car, meeting with local biologists conservation officials across Western Canada. What's a conservation official? I don't understand. The results published in a paper in Scientific Report in May 2019 revealed that wild pigs have spread extensively over the past 3 decades, with sightings emanating outward from former boar farms. They continue to move into new territories far beyond where they once were raised. This is Porcine Pests. That's what this section of the article is called.
There are so many good band names in this article.
I know, I know. Wild pigs also wallow in stream beds, causing erosion and water contaminant. Moreover, pigs are elusive, Jeremy. Mm. Even though seen on trail cameras, residents may not know they're around. Even so, economic and ecological problems associated with the pigs, including risks posed to motorists, are expected to grow alongside mushrooming pig populations.
Mushrooming pig populations.
That's right. And Jeremy, this does go on. I'm going to stop because we've been reading this story for roughly 7 days. But God, Jeremy, you know, there's that old The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
I think it was, the song was Get Around. Round, round, get around, I get around. Round, round, round. You know that song?
Yeah. By the Beach Boys.
I believe it was that. Yeah, I think it was that song. There's a sketch on The Muppet Show where there was a group of pigs. You know all the pigs that they made?
Yeah.
Wearing leather jackets, riding motorcycles, singing that song. And as I was reading this story, Jerry, that was the image going through my head. These wild boars in leather jackets on motorcycles, causing havoc wherever they go.
Building pigloos.
Building pigloos.
And harassing livestock.
Hey, want to come back to my pigloo? Maybe check it out. It's pretty exciting in there.
You want a Netflix and chill, honey?
So what do you think, Jeremy?
I'm telling you, the pigs are coming. I've seen the last trip down to Florida.
The pigs are coming.
I get you. I've seen more feral pigs this year than any other time in my life. They're bold, and it does not surprise me one bit that they are taking over Canada. Canadians are too nice. I'm just saying.
Hey there, Mr. Pig. Could you, not do that? Yeah. Fuck off, son. Oh, all right, there. Thank you.
What accent did you just give that pig?
I don't know. I think he was that guy from Monty Python and the Quest for the Monty Python: The Meaning of Life, who was eating the thin mint wafer.
Oh, Mr. Creosote.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a bucket. I'm gonna throw up.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Couldn't eat another
That
body.
Seems like a good accent for a pig.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you did say that they were 600 pounds.
Well, yeah, man.
Right?
Right.
God, I want to see one of these little pigloos because I'm just thinking that I'm picturing an actual round igloo made of mud, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. But yeah, I'm telling you, if people could just, this is the second week in a row that you have done, a story about some crazy shit that's, yeah, it's happening. It's
yeah,
just,
man.
If people could just, I don't know, stop bringing, you know, things in from other countries and.
Yep. All right, man, you got another story for us?
I do. This one is off world because I tend to enjoy the stories off-world these days.
Right.
Moon bases could be built using astronaut urine. When NASA astronauts return to the moon in 2024, they'll need a lunar base that allows them to stay on the surface. And the astronauts may end up building their base using something readily available, their urine. As part of NASA's Artemis program, the first woman and next man on the moon will be landing at the lunar South Pole. It's a place with fluctuating temperatures that will require astronauts to learn how to live and operate on the surface of another celestial body, according to the agency. Unfortunately, the astronauts can't just land a habitat on the lunar surface and set up shop. Instead, they'll have to build a safe habitat to protect them from the radiation, extreme temperature swings ranging from -9 degrees Fahrenheit to -313 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's cold. I don't know if you know this, Jeremy, but that is cold.
That's cold. And it also has to protect them from impacts by micrometeorites.
Mm-hmm.
Another goal of the Artemis program is for astronauts to find and use water on the moon. along with other resources at their disposal on or beneath the surface to allow long-term exploration. Artemis is the sustainable way of returning to the moon for good, said NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. Unlike the Apollo program, this suggests a sustained presence on and around the moon. Now, transporting materials to the moon is expensive. Flying about 1 pound of material from Earth to the moon costs roughly $10,000 for one pound. Yeah. According to a previous study, this is why so many things are designed for space travel are lightweight.
Yeah. Right.
So materials found on the moon or those that the astronauts would already have with them are key in the agency's sustainable approach. Previous studies of possible building materials for the lunar bases relied on materials that would have to be brought to the moon. But new study, researchers are investigating what would happen if moon dust was mixed with a component of the human urine to create a kind of concrete that can be 3D printed to build a structure fit for human habitation.
Well, you know, Jeremy, there's a giant 3D printer now they use in, like, I think some countries where they drop it down and it builds small structures for people to live in.
Right. That is what they are basing off this. However,
okay.
They're trying to make concrete out of what's already on the moon or what is already going to be taken to the moon. That's exactly their idea. Yeah, I've seen the videos of those house printer things. It's cool. They look like little structures from Star Wars.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the researchers decided to test if the urea could be used as a plasticizer in the concrete, which can soften the mixture to make it more pliable before it hardens. And so for the test, they made a similar material to moon dust here on Earth, developed by the European Space Agency, and it was combined with the urea from urine and made into cylinders using a 3D printer. After printing, the samples were tested to see if they could handle weight loads, including one just over 2 pounds and another closer to 25 pounds. They're doing more and more tests just to make sure that what they are able to print right now, if it's going to withstand the temperature swings. It goes on, it's a scientific article, but they were put through 8 cycles of thawing and freezing, and they got the temps way down there, and it's looking promising, David. It looks
How
like...
How cool is that?
I know, right? Obviously, they're going to do additional studies. They've got plenty of time. We're not going back to the moon for another 4 years. Maybe with Corona, that'll push us off another year or two. But we're going back to the moon, and we're going to build stuff on the moon, David, using our pee.
That's awesome.
Right?
Well, you know, Jeremy, as you were kind of going through that story, and you were talking about the cost to, you know, get it there, I was thinking, what if we just, you know, crashed the International Space Station onto the moon and made that our moon base?
Well, then we wouldn't have the International Space Station.
Right, but we'd have a moon base. Well, and it wouldn't be $10,000 a pound.
Well, I imagine it was to get all the individual components.
Well, I know, Jeremy, but not now. It's been floating up there for a few years. Depreciation. That is the cost and value of that plant. That space station has gone down, but if we
yeah, get it on a nice piece of... Yeah, but location.
Jeremy, that's what I'm just about to say. If we get it on a nice piece of real estate, the value goes back up.
That was one thing I did want to ask the people who wrote this. Like, wait a minute, why are we landing on the South Pole if it gets that cold? You know, if we were looking outside of Earth and we were looking, we'd be like, where should we land where it will be okay to inhabit humans? Shit, let's go to the South Pole. No, you wouldn't do that.
Right. You wouldn't do that.
You'd go somewhere where the climate was mild. You know, maybe a Florida.
Well, you know, Jeremy, I think living on the moon is sort of like here during the coronavirus outbreak. You know, there's no rules anymore. You don't have to not drink at noon, right?
Right, right. Well,
you don't have to wear pants all day. You don't have to put your space station somewhere where it's viable.
Right.
Because nowhere is viable on the moon. It's all chaos. You put it on the moon. Who cares?
And this is my living room. I made it out of my own pee and some
that's right.
Dust.
That smell, that's like urine smell, that's my urine.
Yes. Yeah.
I drink a lot of coffee. Don't go to Jennifer's place. She loves asparagus.
Oh, Oh, her eye. That's funny. That's awesome. But yeah, so I'm excited for moon, for, you know, building shit on the moon. That's,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yep.
All right, buddy, you got another one for us?
Well, Jeremy, you know, I've, yes, my next story has actually called me to action.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I have decided that I'm going to solve this COVID-19 situation. I bought myself a chemistry set.
Oh.
I have been mixing chemicals in the hopes of finding a cure for COVID-19.
All right. Well, why the, so this, why the sudden interest?
Well, Jeremy, this, I'm glad you asked. The title of this article I'm about to read is, "Porn Star Says She'll Have Sex with the First Scientist to Cure COVID-19.
I'll be right back.
Right? If saving humanity wasn't a call to action enough for boffins? I don't know what a boffin is. Do you know what a boffin is?
Nope.
B-O-F-F-I-N-S.
I'll Google it right now while you read.
Okay. Enough for boffins and scientists across the globe. There is another titillating carrot being dangled by Russian porn star Lola Taylor, who says she'll have sex with the first scientist who finds a cure for coronavirus.
Ooh, a boffin is a person engaged in scientific or technical research. Did not know.
So right now I'm a boffin because I'm trying to cure coronavirus. So I can have sex with a Russian porn
boffin
star.
Boffin the boffin. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Lola Taylor, a.k.a. Labava Shababafin, 27. She's a Russian name. I don't know. I don't read Russian. I ain't no commie. is currently self-isolating at her home in Moscow, claims she'll be arrested if she leaves, which is probably why she is so keen to incentivize those working on a treatment for the deadly virus. Taking to her Instagram, the porn star is hoping her sex will sell, so to speak, and she may well not have to wait long before scientists start sliding in her DMs, claiming to have found a cure, as researchers down under say they are two existing drugs that could cure COVID-19. A team of infectious disease experts at the University of Queensland in Brisbane say the drugs used to treat HIV and malaria could be used to tackle the coronavirus. I don't know what the name of this drug is. Colchicine, an anti-malaria drug and HIV suppressant combined, and then they give some drug names, have both reportedly shown promising results in human trials and made the virus disappear in infectious patients. Look, I'm going to stop reading this story. It tricked me, Jeremy.
Now David, does your story come with a picture?
Yes.
Yes, I have just Googled Lola Taylor, porn star.
Would you?
Well, I mean, yeah.
What's the hesitance there, Jeremy?
If I were a single scientist, I would be racing, David, to find a cure. I would like to self-immerse myself in my research and the reward, if you will.
Jerry, I'm not going to read the rest of the story because it tricked me. I read the first part of it and I was like, oh, this is a good story. It's got some funniness to it. I'll read it. But then it got serious about looking for a coronavirus cure, which, Jeremy, I know that's important, but I don't want to talk about that on my funny podcast. So
right.
Fuck all that. But yeah, Jeremy, what about, you know, I'll tell you what, that woman deserves some kind of medal.
Well, I mean, if her efforts, of course, lead to a cure. But yes, I mean, way to put yourself out there.
So, you know, I wonder, Jeremy, I wonder what someone who has sex for a living, you know, that's their job. What does sex equate to then? I mean, you know, is it, I don't know. Have you ever thought about that? Like she's like, I'll have sex with the first person to cure coronavirus. And people are like, wow, that's really noble. But is that like a handshake for her?
Well, I imagine it would be like you offering to make someone a puppet if they cured coronavirus.
Yeah, but me making someone a puppet doesn't involve mine and their genitals, Jeremy.
Well, no, but I mean, it is work. Might not be full-time work, but, you know, you do get paid for your services in puppet making. And
sure.
It does take some time. And some preparation.
So what you're telling me, Jeremy, is I need to sweeten the pot.
Yes.
Right? So Lola is offering sex with her, and I will throw in a free puppet.
Yes.
To any scientist that cures coronavirus.
And I will throw in a robot.
All right. Actually, Jeremy, what if we did this? Mm. What if we made them not the top tier, because that I'm not flying for free for foot rubs and
right.
podcasts. But on top of Lola and her sex, whoever invents the cure for coronavirus gets the second to top tier Patreon exclusive for I don't know what you want to talk about.
Absolutely.
Which is a bunch of stuff plus a free puppet and a Wobot.
There we go. That's what it is.
So, listener out there,
boffins.
Can you make sure to share this with all the boffins and scientists you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I will get on it.
But yeah, I mean, that's good. But back to that, Jeremy, my question again, what is sex like for somebody who does that for a job? Like, is it still like I get excited every time I have sex. It's a big deal for me. I enjoy every time. As if it were my first and last time, you know. But,
like it's the most important thing you will do all day.
I mean, yeah. So, but for someone who does it for a living, is it like a handshake? Is it like, all right, let's do this? I mean, I don't know. You don't know any porn actors, do you?
I don't. Do you think any of our listeners are porn actresses?
Or actors.
Or actors.
Yeah, I don't know. If you are... you know, send us a message on Facebook. Let us know what the sex is like for you. Is it, you know, and I've often wondered too.
Excited as David does?
Exactly. And I often wonder too, like, do you think I sit at work all day and I stare at a computer. And the last thing I want to do when I get home at night is stare at a computer. So
is this like the every plumber has a leaky pipe in their house, every carpenter has trim that's not finished because they don't want to do it when they get home?
Exactly.
Oh.
So do they not have intimate relationships with their significant others?
Do they look at Netflix and chill as literally sitting in your chair watching Netflix?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, congratulations, Lola. We have added to your pot. we will up the ante. I wonder.
That's right.
I wonder if we can get a whole bunch of our listeners to also up the ante.
Let's
go all in on this, guys. Let's you know, Oprah can give a new car to every person in her audience. Can she give one to whoever finds the coronavirus cure?
Cure, yeah.
Come on, Oprah. So.
Get on it. Join Lola in I don't know what do you want to talk about in the fight to cure coronavirus.
There's your headline for next week's story. Porn star Oprah and some shitty podcast offers to pool their resources to reward scientists. There we go.
You know what I really hope though, Jeremy? I hope whoever does become the official person to claim this, I hope they do claim the reward. I hope they hear about it, and I hope they claim it.
Right?
And I hope it's televised.
Well, I mean, you know, along the same lines,
Jeremy,
as a porn star, you know, wondering if it's like some actors and actresses refuse to look at themselves in their own movies. I wonder.
Right.
I wonder if porn stars are like that, too.
Jeremy, if we were to televise that... Do you know the number of young people who would go in to study science like it was their... There would be a giant... There would
you
be
were
a
about
giant
to say
surge.
Like it was their job.
I didn't, though. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, holy shit, if I become a scientist, maybe someday I'll cure a disease and have sex with a porn star. That's the only option I got at this point, Jeremy. I'm never going to have sex with a porn star unless I cure some disease. If I'd known this earlier, Jeremy, I could be at the forefront of the coronavirus cure, getting ready to have sex with a Russian porn star.
Yeah.
Honey, I love you. I would never have sex with a Russian porn star, but just a man can dream, Jeremy.
You gotta have goals, David.
Right?
You gotta have goals.
God damn it.
Wow. That's...
Anyways.
I love it. I mean...
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jeremy,
yes,
I think we're at that point in the show where we have to do our contractual obligated piece of business.
Oh, yes, we have to thank our fabulous Patreon donor, Amber, also known as Bad Influence Number One, for her support. I hope she is enjoying the heck out of her swag bag that she received from us. And I believe we did hear back from Bad Influence Number One in regards to her special exclusive content.
Overall, very popular. But Jeremy...
Yeah?
Jeremy, there was a cut that Amber made that I don't think she knew she made, but it what? Hurt me to my very core.
What?
My very core.
What? What was the comment? I thought it was all positive.
I won't get into the specifics of what prompted this statement, because you'll need to become a member of Patreon at the $5 a month or greater level to hear the actual podcast. But Jeremy, in attempting to defend how she felt about the podcast and one part of podcast in particular, said needed to make a clarification, not a pod drag, Jeremy.
Pod drag. Yes. I don't know what that means.
Jeremy, at one point there was a suggestion that maybe at some point in this podcast they found me to be uptight.
Oh!
And you never uttered the phrase pod drag, Jeremy. That never came out of your mouth. And so I feel like, did they refer to me as a pod drag at some point? And it hurt,
Jeremy.
She
said not a pod drag.
Well, right. But that implied that at some point she used that phrase, Jeremy.
I don't think so. I don't even know what a pod drag is.
Pod drag, not pod rag.
Oh, so.
Anyways, so I read that and I thought, how dare she pod drag?
Now she sent me. She was taking notes during her exclusive content. Did you? I sent you the picture of her notes that she sent me, right?
No, you didn't send me that picture.
I didn't. Oh my God! No. I swear to Christ, I did. Maybe it didn't go through. Yes, she sent me a message and sent me a page of notes also that I will send to you. It's great. I love that no fatties is on there and something about totally being interested.
Shh, Jeremy.
I'm sorry. It's exclusive.
Jeremy,
exclusive.
Jesus Christ, man.
It's exclusive content.
Fuck it. Don't. You got to pay for that shit.
I'm sorry.
You want extra podcast? I'm the porn star of podcasts. You pay me.
Oh, my God. We should probably wrap it up there, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay. You want to do the whole thing where you tell people to find us?
Yes. So, everybody, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to find more of us, you can find us anywhere that the major popular hosting site for podcasts, that's iTunes, that's Spotify, that's Google Play, that's iHeartRadio. You can find us all there. If you want to find us online, you can find us at I Don't Know What You Want to Talk About on Facebook. You can find us at I Don't Know Podcast on Instagram. If you'd like to become a member and hear some of the great, crazy content, or if you just like our podcast, you want to help support us, check us out on patreon.com/I Don't Know What You Want to Talk About. And Jeremy, as always, it is a pleasure to spend time with you and our audience. And you guys have a great, safe weekend. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, buddy. Give love to the family, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, this is David reminding you to check out all of our episodes on iTunes and connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. You can see all kinds of tomfoolery throughout the week. Thanks and have a good one. Bye.